This is Chrissy Annie, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
I'm Al Stope.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid TJ Wilson.
Everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You listen to me because you are listening to WrestleTalk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you WrestleTalk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me,
Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will,
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of our Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, or as usual, I suppose, it is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, introducing you to another edition of our favorite wrestling show on this network, until the trade dog gets here. You had a really clever intro, except, unfortunately, our favorite Australian Mace apparently took a boomerang to the head and will not be joining us tonight. You can all blame him for this intro sucking. But we do have on the line the Spud guy.
Fuck you all.
Fuck you all.
We also have Mr. Will.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
And the old man from up north, Mr. Tim Stein.
Well, God damn it, I told you to quit calling me an old man. What the hell do you think you're doing? You know, back in my day, we didn't have wrestling. We just kicked the shit out of each other for the fun of it in the snow. Up the hill both ways. I tell you, God damn it.
Just be glad
you're 1830.
What the fuck was that? Everybody, good evening. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah, it's another non-pay-per-view night. Holy fuck, it's weird. It is weird. It is really, really strange that we're doing a show and there hasn't been a pay-per-view for, like, what, 4 weeks now, guys?
It's been a while. Streak ends next week, though.
Yeah, it does. We'll be a little bit delayed because of TNA pay-per-view. Who's looking forward to it? Whoopee! Hooray! TNA! Let's all jerk off in the corner! Fuck TNA.
I was going to let the silence speak, but okay.
Sarcasm doesn't become you, Spuggeroony, but there you go. Will, are you going to be tuning into the TNA pay-per-view after Monday, last Monday night? Are you maybe willing to give it a good shot?
I would tune in anyway. It's just I'm normally not home on Sundays.
Okay, we'll make plans to be home this Sunday.
I've actually been doing that so I don't keep missing the show.
That's awesome. But Omega, seriously, you're going to give it a chance? Watch it with an open mind, at least?
I'm going to have an open mind, but in doing so, I also realize that they cannot do what they did on Monday night constantly.
I think they can do better than what we saw last Monday night. You're out of your goddamn mind. Hold on, Spud. feel free to chime in, Spud. What do you mean I'm out of my goddamn mind? Go ahead. Come on, tell me.
I thought I had my mic muted. No, you're out of your goddamn mind. You're absolutely... did you not listen to Running the Ropes on Thursday? We got into a three-hour debate over this. Look.
If I'd have known... let me just interrupt for a sec about Running the Ropes on Thursday. If I'd have known you were there, then I would have paid attention to it. No offense to Nick in the chat room, but fuck math.
Indeed, fuck math. No, I called in on Thursday.
Yeah.
And we were talking, and I said the same thing Monday that I said Thursday. You can fire all of your guns at once and win one battle, which they did Monday night. The ratings might not have shown it, but in the wrestling fans' mind, TNA was better than WWE.
Yeah.
But to consistently do that, you have to be able to build at the foundation and build up. Unfortunately, TNA looks more and more like the waning days of WCW than it does an up-and-coming product that it was just a few short years ago when we had Styles and Daniels and Joe and you know, Kurt Angle and everybody, the younger guys vying for the title and being in the spotlight. Look, they had this thing called the X Division a while back. You know, I hear it's still around, but it's not as prominent as it used to be. That was the thing that separated them from WWE. ECW had something that separated them from WWE. ROH had something that separated them from... every wrestling company has their staple that separates them apart from the other one. And right now, TNA doesn't have that. So to sit there and say they could do better, sure they could do better eventually, but until they pull their heads out of their ass and Jeff Jarrett quits stroking his own cock to his own ego, then they're not going to.
Well, spoken like somebody who hasn't really paid attention to a lot of TNA lately, and the first time we've seen Jeff Jarrett in a long time in TNA was Monday night. I mean, he hasn't been on for quite a while.
Actually, it wasn't the first, but...
well, it was the first time in a little while. Really?
It was on the week before. And
yeah,
the week before that.
All right. Just totally
and before
while.
That.
Who wasn't watching TNA recently?
totally destroy the point I'm making.
Make sure it's a solid point.
Well, then let me finish. All right? What ego-stroking was Jarrett doing last Monday night?
He wasn't doing anything publicly, but in the past, how many times have we seen Jarrett put himself over in situations that he didn't need to be put over in? And now that you have Hogan and Bischoff at the helm, and you have Scott Hall and Kevin Nash there, look, Kevin Nash held the book in the dying days of WCW. The problem with it is there are too many chiefs, not enough Indians.
Okay, so you thinking that the biggest mistake TNA may have done last Monday was not to feature an X Division, an Ultimate X?
No,
that
because
would have been
did...
better than that fucking asylum they gave us. Jesus Christ.
TNA would be better off in the long run. Look, when... break it down to an independent level, all right? We'll take Stampede, whomever. You have a card coming up, and you want to draw fans in. What do? You go get a name, be it Greg the Anvil, you know, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Honky Tonk Man, whomever. Whomever is working the circuit at that point in time. You go get a name. You know why? Because fans know those names. And they will come, and you bring them in. But what keeps them coming back is the card that is in front of it. So you want to make sure that the card in front of those names is as good as it possibly can be to keep those people. What TNA is not doing, or what TNA is doing, is giving us too much names, not enough card in front of it. As you like to say, Tim, they're giving us too much sizzle, not enough steak. And in TNA's case... and in the instance of TNA, right now, they need to worry more about the steak than the sizzle. The names, The names will draw on the fans, but you do not need to oversaturate your product with names and has-beens who have no business being on the screen for longer than 5 minutes.
I see exactly what you're talking about. All right, well, you know. So you're not really all that hopeful for TNA actually capitalizing.
No, I'm not. I'm really not, because you've seen it time and time again. The powers that be in TNA are almost the same powers that be in WCW when it died, and they're the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for different results. Well, they're insane right now.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know if you have a perfect point or not, but you do have some validity to it. Guys, you got any feedback for that?
I don't know. Okay. I would like to know how this is being based on, because from everything I've seen recently about TNA, and yes, I've actually tried to take a look at it more than once, they do have a pretty solid nexus of young stars that they are using pretty well right now. I thought on Monday night, they kind of crippled the X division by, you know, just shoving out a match just for the sake of introducing Jeff Hardy. But
Okay, but so did WCW. They had Kidman, they had Shannon Moore, they had a very good nexus of young talent to build upon. The problem was, is they featured the already established and named guys far too prominently and far too frequently. That is my issue. My issue is not that TNA doesn't have young talent, because they do. They have an enormous base of talent. The problem is, with me personally, in my personal opinion, and we all know it doesn't matter for anything around here, my personal opinion is that TNA is going to fall flat on their face. They're going to pick themselves up, possibly, but eventually they will fall flat on their face because they are not learning from the sins of the past.
Well, here's where I refute that. A lot of those established stars you're talking about, especially one of the ones that showed up Monday night, aren't big players. They're not in the least. Scott Hall is on a very short-term contract. A lot of those that appeared on Monday night are on short-term contracts. I think Ric Flair is the only one signed on for any reasonable length of time. I think he's on a year contract just to appear. But none of them are being presented out there as anything, it's hard to find a word for this. They're not being featured prominently, or at least it doesn't appear that they're going to be. They're not going to be around long to do it. Of course, Hulk Hogan is an exception, since he's apparently partnered up with TNA.
And Bischoff,
but even him, since he's more affiliated with Spike than TNA, I still have suspicions on how long he'll be around.
Well, before I toss it over to Will to get his take, you've heard the term guilt by association, right?
Uh-huh.
All they had to do was show up on television. That's it. It doesn't matter how long their contract is. You go pull any one of the idiot wrestling fans that populate message boards and chat rooms. None of them know how long the contracts are. At least the majority of them don't. Don't take the time to research it and find it out. By those guys, the Nasty Boys, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash is already contracted, but X-Pac, by those guys showing up on TNA and being there on TNA, all they've given is the illusion, which is a pretty powerful one, that what people liked about WCW is back. And that's the wrong thing to do if you're trying to separate yourself and become an up-and-coming company and compete with the big dog on the block.
But at the same time, they're getting over with something that WWE just doesn't have, and that is a solid wrestling foundation. You might have once in a blue moon that WWE comes up with something great like Taker and Michaels, but you've got guys on TNA. I mean, we're discussing the last two TNA pay-per-views and both of them having match of the year caliber performances, and now we're going into TNA Genesis where you've got AJ and Angle again, and they just had the match Monday night, and it was a stellar match, and it was a brilliant idea to book it for the big spotlight, please look at us show, which is where I think they have a big advantage over WWE, is that, yeah, you're talking about steak and sizzle, and yeah, there was a hell of a lot of sizzle, but they have a much nicer piece of steak behind it than WWE is at, and they have a more consistent one at that.
Yes, I will agree with you. They have a very solid wrestling foundation. They have a very solid talent base to build upon. But I think a lot of people at Spike and a lot of people in the back at TNA are getting too hung up on names and things that drew in the past and not realizing and not utilizing what they have in front of them. That's what I'm saying. Not that they don't have these things, it's that they're going in the totally wrong direction. Than they should be.
But at the same time, how do you draw in new people? How do you draw in people with names that nobody's ever heard of? You've got to have the right balance between the old names that draw people in, the ones that people recognize, and the newer names that they have to get interested in order to stick around.
Yes, exactly. But they don't have the right balance. They're too far to one end. That's the whole point I'm trying to make. Will, come on, get in on this.
Well, in regards to the names drawing in, the old names drawing in new people, that's not necessarily true. I've said several times, the reason I started watching TNA is what I saw, not the names I knew. I don't know how long Mace has watched TNA, but I've seen TNA through some of its absolute worst stuff. I've been watching for several years now, I think, since at least... Oh, when was my hernia surgery? 2004.
I love that.
He mentions it like it had something to do with it.
It does.
The funny thing
is... My first image of TNA was coming out of the drug-induced coma from my hernia surgery, looking at the TV and seeing this dude doing a flip pile driver.
Oh, Petey Williams, the Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm with Will on this. When I originally started watching TNA, it was I saw. Somebody sent me a YouTube link. I said, you have to see this. And showed me the Canadian Destroyer. So I watched on Saturdays here and there, way back in the old days when the X Division was prominently featured, because WWE didn't have that.
Right. And, what was I going to say? You were saying something about old names. God damn it, I forgot. It's that drug-induced haze again.
Old names drawing?
Yeah, old names drawing. Well, there was a point I was going for. Fuck, what was it?
Something about old, you don't have to have old names to draw. You got drawn
in. No, there
by.
Was another point from something else Omega had said. It'll come to me in a second.
I'm trying to help you.
Yeah,
I just want to chime in a little bit. Will, you say you got hooked by the action, and I will tell you right now, you are not in the majority as far as that is concerned. What they were trying to do last Monday night was put a dent in WWE's viewership. Now, if you guys caught the fast overnights and then the final ratings, you would have to honestly admit that that is exactly what they did. Sure, they only did a 1.5 overall, but they peaked at almost 2, which is nothing but a victory for TNA, while at the same time WWE did a 3, and everybody's pissed off because they only did a 3 with Bret the Hitman Hart showing up. But
They failed with Bret Hart.
Well, they didn't handle it right. But anyway, at the same time, when you're trying to attract people over to WWE and you got Hulk Hogan popping up on a commercial in local market saying, what are you doing, brother? I'm on TNA right now. Turn the channel to Spike. You know, and they got people turning the channels. People who know these names are tuning in. And it's the majority of that 1.8, 1.9 that they hit at the top of the hour that has never seen the product before, or they've heard about it, or there are these TNA bashers. You know, I love being part of the cool kids. I'm going to bash TNA with everybody else. No, you know, when I criticize something, I'm not criticizing it because other people are criticizing it. I'm not picking on a wrestler or a performance because other people do it and it seems like it's the cool thing to do. And you can't deny that shit like that happens. It really does. However, you've got to put out something people know and people know really well to attract them. And now that they did that, now they can go back to concentrating on the, X Division, which I will say right now, they should have done some heavy X Division stuff once they peaked, maybe right after Hogan came out when they peaked, because they would probably have kept more of that 1.9 than they did. And that's the criticism I see. That's what I see where they probably went wrong.
I want some credit because I never bashed TNA because it was the cool thing to do.
No, you just bashed TNA because it's your opinion, which is different.
No, I've never bashed TNA because it was the cool thing to do and I wanted to be the cool kids. I've had legitimate issues and problems with TNA that I don't like. And we all know me, I can't keep my fucking mouth shut, so.
Yeah. Well, that point I just remembered. Omega was talking about how they were using their stars better than they have been. And like I just said, I've watched TNA through some of its worst stuff. They may be using their stars better than they have been, but they're not at all using them to their full potential. And if they are going to keep the people that they are drawing over with Hogan and his cronies, they need to start stepping up what those guys can do.
There's no disagreement there. I don't think it's been any surprise or secret that TNA has had so much potential behind it and never the foresight to actually use it. But they are starting to come around to the point where it's not a whole lot of WWE and WCW cast-offs making names for themselves amongst the TNA ranks anymore. I mean, you don't have Booker T there anymore. Scott Steiner, they left completely off camera, even though he's very recognizable on the Monday show. I think they're starting to get it. I think they started to get it when they finally put the title back on AJ. I remember when Kurt first came in, and it was all about the old WWE stars, and AJ was Kurt Angle's lapdog. I mean, he was barely in the mid-card picture, let alone the heavyweight.
And before that, it was Christian.
Things are kind of reset right now.
But I think that's part of my problem and a lot of people's problems with TNA Omega, is that even though they are making changes and even though they are trying to get better and trying to adapt and overcome, when people started tuning in was in the heavy days of, you know, when it really was the dying days of WCW. Maybe it's not so much anymore, but you turned off a very large audience. And honestly, TNA could have been competing with WWE on a Monday night long, long ago had they not sat there and thought that what they had to do was use, you know, WCW / old WWE talent to get over. If they had gone, if they had had the foresight to use their own talent like Joe and Daniels and Styles and even Rhino, for example, and Christian. Look, nobody will disagree with me that Christian could have been the savior of TNA along with AJ Styles when he was there, because Christian came in and lit that place up, because it was right at the peak of Christian's career in first run in WWE. But the powers that be at TNA did not have the foresight and did not use what they had properly, and now they are at where they are, and they're having to dig out of a very large hole.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right. They squandered Christian completely. At the same time, maybe things just haven't had the foresight. Maybe they just haven't had the vision they needed to until recently. You know, let me play devil's advocate just a little bit and say, maybe Hulk Hogan has brought some kind of new direction into TNA that they needed. I mean, look at what they did on Monday night. Their highest quarter rating was at 9 o'clock. They got the strongest audience, those 2.5 million wrestling fans that were not watching one of the biggest moments of history unfolding on Raw just a few channels over. That, I think, is where TNA drew its victory, where WWE did have something to prove, that they could put something on and draw that attention away from TNA, and it failed. They failed to crush the upstart with the biggest moment that they possibly could have had.
Well, I'll throw this comment out there, and then y'all go to town with it. And I said it Monday night. WWE didn't have anything to prove. They really didn't. Or at least they had the thought that they didn't have anything to prove. Because for so long, WWE has been the monster, you know, the monster on the block. The big dog that, you know, had no competition. And so Vince thought, oh, Hogan's going to be there. I'll throw out Bret Hart and we'll get this kicked off. And he figured automatically that people would tune into it. And they didn't. So, honestly, if you want to say WWE had anything to prove, their thought process was that they didn't. They absolutely didn't.
Well, obviously, they thought they had something to prove that they were going to pull Bret Hart out, you know, bring up 13 years of anticipation, bringing up the feud and hatred between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and culminated to them hugging in the ring. Phony as it was still there and it still happened. WWE, that's a huge shot for them with the history and how many times they bring up Montreal. And that was one of their worst quarter ratings for the whole episode. They threw their biggest gun and they couldn't, it wasn't anything.
I just want to touch on what you're talking about. You know, they brought Bret Hart in as a replacement or as an answer to Hulk Hogan debuting on the live show and all this other stuff. I don't really agree with that completely, mainly because WWE and Bret Hart had been in talks for months before anything was announced on Spike for Hulk Hogan for the live show. That was in the works. I think that maybe they stepped it up by a week, so they would go head-to-head, but Bret Hart was still showing up in WWE no matter what. However, yeah, they lobbed it out there, and they missed just the outside corner of the plate with that pitch.
That was my point, Tim. That was my point.
Yeah.
That they brought Bret Hart in to compete, even though he was going to be there, but still.
Yeah, yeah. But he was going to be there anyway. Now, not to back you up or shoot down any of your points or anything like that, but bottom line is, you know, you're saying with WWE, you know, they didn't have to prove a damn thing. No, you're pretty much right. You know, it's a case of inertia more than anything else. And the law of inertia states that an object in motion tends to stay in motion, an object at rest tends to stay at rest. And this is where TNA's victory came. Okay, WWE was the big dog, and that was their yard. Monday nights is their yard. They're the big dog. TNA, the little yappy chihuahua, comes in, makes a lot of noise, and ruffles a bunch of feathers, maybe nips WWE in the hindquarters, and it's WWE's that big-ass bulldog. He's barely going to feel the teeth of the chihuahua. But the chihuahua bit hard enough that it did. WWE did feel the bite.
Somebody else respond. I talk too much.
like I said, yeah. I'm sure they felt. Like I said, I mean, their WWE pulled their biggest moment they could pull, and TNA did their best ratings during that one. I mean, that is 2.5 million fans that were not watching Raw. I think that speaks volumes about how well TNA wrapped their little show up that day.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the bottom line is, if you are saying that TNA did, and I'm not singling any one of you guys out, I'm just being general here. I'm just talking generally to any, you know, purported wrestling fan. If you say at the end of the day, last Monday night, TNA did not prove something, that TNA did not win something, even though their ratings were half that of WWE, the fact of the matter is the ratings were the highest they've ever been. It was a record. bottom, at the end of the day, TNA won Monday night. That's all there is.
The follow-up question, though, is, yeah, most wrestling fans may not recognize it or realize it, and some may come around to it. But the bigger question is does Vinnie Mac up there in Connecticut realize it? Because we saw, going back to the real Monday Night Wars, the original ones in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
when Vince McMahon is backed into a corner and his empire is threatened or compromised, he pulls out all the stops. He really does.
Yeah, no argument with you on that at all. But at the same time, you got to remember well, that with TNA, Spike has a plan.
Right? I know Spike has a plan. I think they might be rushing it a little prematurely because I saw the article from the from one of the guys on Spike earlier in the week where now they're seriously contemplating putting it on Monday, and I don't know if they're going to put it live or they're just going to put it on Monday up against Raw. That's a colossally bad idea at this point in time. Let it mature and do its own thing. But
no,
yes.
I've got to disagree with you on that one.
I said this to Omega on the phone last week. Him and I were BSing and talking about it. If you want to make Spike, if you want to make TNA live, that's fine. But right now, what you do with it is you leave it live on Thursday night. One, because it's established at that time slot. Two, there's no other wrestling programs on that night. None. SmackDown's on Fridays, and ECW's on Tuesdays. You own the wrestling market on that night. And if you
there is Superstars, but that... in my time zone right now, it goes on an hour before TNA.
If you can corner that market on that night, and you can consistently draw numbers, larger numbers, on a live time slot, on a night where you have no competition, then you put them against the competition to see what they can do at that point in time. Because at that point, if they're big, they're bigger, and you say, all right, we've been on Thursday nights live for a year now, and we consistently draw in 2.0 ratings, and we're going to go to Monday nights, we're going to go up against Raw, we're going to go live, you know, we're going to continue to go live, we're going to compete with a big dog, and you fail, well, then you just go back to Thursday night. Because at that point, you have nothing to lose. Right now, TNA has everything to lose. They have everything to lose. Because if they go up against Raw and compete with Raw right now as it stands, they will get crushed in 6 months. Vince will own another wrestling company. And none of us want that because we want competition. We don't want a monopoly.
Well, now, Vince isn't going to wind up owning TNA like he did WCW. First off, TNA has a very secure network contract, unlike WCW. Everybody's saying, well, where did they fail? The ultimate death knell was the guy who took over AOL Time Warner once that deal was put into the place. He didn't like wrestling. He wanted WCW off air at the end of the day. That's it. Otherwise, Bischoff would have won with his bid, and
they
WCW...
They weren't
going
to give him TV time, though.
Well, that's what I was just saying. They weren't giving him TV time because the guy in charge didn't like wrestling, okay? And he's the guy that killed the Golden Goose at the end of the day, ultimately. Now, what I'm talking about, you know, you move TNA to Monday nights. It's not going to happen next week, and it's not going to happen in 2 weeks. But what you do is you start TNA early. Monday nights are known as the wrestling night. So you start TNA early and have them have an hour overlap or a half hour overlap. Okay, that's what they're building towards. That is exactly what's going to happen. You keep hearing these people talking before January the 4th came along. Oh, you know, it would be great if the ratings were good. We could maybe look at it. Oh, you know, we did really good. We're happy. Now we're starting to think about it. No, they've been thinking about it a lot longer than that. TNA has been wanting to do this for over a year and a half now. And, again, you know, it's like everybody's saying they fired the first shot in, you know, what could be another round of, you know, the brand new Monday Night Wars. And they don't have to go on head-to-head at the exact same time. TNA starts an hour, even put them an hour and a half ahead of time. So they're only 30 minutes overlapping. That would not screw TNA up. That would definitely benefit them. But, guys, we got to take our first time out of the night coming up pretty quick here. We can get back into this a little bit more, unless anybody else has a really, really quick point here before we go to break.
I have one. And then you're talking about TV time? Monday Night Raw was still on USA at that point in time. They hadn't moved over to Spike yet. ECW was in TV deals with Spike at the time. When WCW went under.
Back when it was still
TNT. What network was going to pick up WCW? None of them. So when they said, we're not giving you the TV time to Bischoff, even though Bischoff was going to buy the company, the effectiveness of what he could do with that was essentially dead, and that's when WCW died, because he had no other network to go to.
Yeah, but you're missing the point, Spud. It's the guy that took over after the merger that didn't like wrestling that said, we're going to get rid of it one way or the other. It doesn't matter who bought it. Once Vince bought it, he was looking for a market to keep WCW going as its own separate brand. At the end of the day, if that guy who was in charge, I can't remember his name, if that guy was in charge, or was not in charge, rather, then WCW probably would have stayed. Eric Bischoff's deal probably would have gotten accepted, and we'd probably, possibly, still have Monday Night Wars going on today. But, yeah, let's take a commercial. We can come back to this. I just want to let everybody know we're opening up the phone lines. You can have your 2 cents in. Don't forget the phone number. It's a toll-free one. Doesn't cost you a penny to call. 888-357-9876, option number 1. 888-357-9876, option number 1. During the commercial break, I want to direct everybody to www.wrestlingnewslive.tk. Yes, they're back. Trade Dogs back in the big house. Get over there, sign up for the forums, and start posting, bitches. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
This is what happens when someone drunk dials TV radio.
Rock!
Bug!
We decided we were going to go out. And I decided I was drinking, and I got fucked up. And I never think I was fucked up. Crazy was a little pissy. My wife decided to be the DD tonight. So I'm going to have to give her a good fat fucking scroggin later. Show my appreciation. Big sex. I'm going to go to BP. Live on the air. Give me some cigarettes.
With no pants.
I should walk in there with a pants on my ankles and ask where the condoms are.
I need to go in there
and right? No, I don't need parental supervision, Mom. That's a really mean looking black woman behind the counter. She might hurt.
I do
respect him. You stupid
dog! Turn your lights off!
Okay, when you sit there and wave at people that you're close, and yet every fucking light is on, even your open light, what do you think that tells people? Yeah, but I can't walk in there without my pants on. I can't do it. I'm gonna do it. And that's what.
I'm
going to
say I don't know you,
so
we're up
to jail. Come
back
to the box. Please tell me he has no pants on.
No, I have pants on. I promise I have pants on.
Aww.
I'm outside. I'm not going to... The
person at the
fair is... Like,
what the hell? Do you guys have any condoms? There's a Francis Girl who has more VD than Lita, who left for me.
Just one time.
I can't breathe.
The kid take of the smoking machine.
If it weren't past 1 a.m., I'd buy me a bottle of Mad Dog 2020. I caught him thinking about some bandanas. Well, you can jump style all the time.
Tune in every Saturday around midnight-ish to see who will drunk dial CB Radio next.
The most controversial man in wrestling radio is coming back to the Free Zone. The Trey Dog is bringing back the fabulous Bam and taking Wrestling News Live back to the people. Be sure to check out www.wrestlingnewslive.tk for information and updates. And, oh yeah, join the forums and start posting, bitches. Wrestling News Live, returning soon on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
WTR Sunday Night Russ Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I hope you all take the time out to sign up for the Wrestling News Live forums. I've already done it at least twice, and I'm looking to do it a third time just because I feel that damn lucky. Hey, wait a minute. It's forums. You can only sign up once. What the hell? Anyway, yeah, so check out WrestlingNewsLive.tk. Wrestling News Live coming back to the airways really soon. Looking forward to it. Damn, I'm looking forward to it. As a matter of fact, Trey Dog in the chat room right now. Just send a shout out to him. Hey, Trey, how you doing? Once again, everybody, don't forget. And when I say this, guys, let's get ready to synchronize our watches for a certain phone call coming in at the same time every single week. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. The phone number, 888-357-9876, option number one. One of these days, I'll remember what the phone number is. Will?
Oh, what? Well, have my mic muted. Didn't plan on talking anytime soon since you're so long-winded.
I know. I learned from the worst, that being the guy who does early Mondays, but we're not going to go there because he'll just see that as an insult, not a free publicity for Monday Night Mayhem. Anyway, but before we went to break, we're arguing about is it a smart move for TNA to consider going to Monday nights almost immediately. You got a point on this one, Will?
I was actually going to agree with Spug. I think they should at least get ratings to at least average near what they, not near, but something over what they get normally on Thursdays and, you know, practice being live before they try and jump over to Mondays and try and go head-to-head against WWE. Because you know they're not going to go, oh, well, you know, we'll put it before Raw. That way we won't get slaughtered. No, they're going to try and go head-to-head. And when they do, if they're not ready, they're going to get slaughtered.
Omega, you got an opinion?
Well, I would agree that TNA does need to go live. I don't think there's any dispute that having spoilers out there and being able to just read the synopsis as far as 2 weeks in advance of the show definitely kills.
Yeah, I got Macho Madness keeps fucking spoiling the shows because he's daft as hell and forgets that I don't like spoilers for wrestling.
But yeah, I'm sure you're not the only one. I mean, part of what made TNA really successful before in the weekly pay-per-view days, and the reason why Monday night was so fun were the surprises. And when you pre-record, there's absolutely no surprise in your product anymore. Now, not that they could put on what they put on Monday night every week, but if they actually had some good writing and some good management going on, it is definitely possible for them to pull it off. They really need to go live on a Thursday. Because, I mean, it's still proven for the original SmackDown that is a viable wrestling night. There is a market they can capture there. And maybe eventually move to Monday. Because they've proven that at the very least, they can put on a show and not be harmed by it just because they're going up against WWE.
Very good point, I do have to admit. Can we agree at the end of the day the smartest thing for TNA to do right now would be to offer live programming and not pre-taped?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Any arguments on that one, Spud?
Just ask Vince McMahon what happens when you go pre-tape. Eric Bischoff comes out and reads your shit on WCW.
Yeah, I remember those days. It backfired on him, though, Will, the one time.
Yeah, it did, but that was the same night as the infamous Poke of Doom.
Yeah, don't turn your TV, man. Mick Foley's going to win the belt. So what did everybody do? They wanted to see Mankind win the belt, so they turned the channel to WWE.
Well, the worst part was the people who actually believed him and stuck around when he promised, we're going to have such a better main event than Mick Foley winning the title, and they have the finger poke of fucking Doom.
But it's the finger poke of Doom.
January 4th, 1999.
You know, but you imagine being that loyal WWE or WCW watcher going, oh, you know what? Okay, I really want to see how the hell Mick Foley becomes a world champion. But no, I like my WCW. I trust you. I'm going to stick through it. And what the fuck did Nash just lay down?
Yeah, no,
I'd be highly pissed.
No, my point was never that that it wasn't a bad idea, that it was a bad idea for TNA to not go live. My point was, as many of the other wonderful co-hosts actually agreed with me for once, I think it's the end of the world. It's one of the seven signs. They need to offer live programming. Just don't do it against WWE. Get a consistent fan base and following. Up that rating from a 0.9 or a 1 or a 1.1 that you draw on a Thursday night and get it up to a 2. If you can get it up to a 2 and consistently hold a 2, one, you already outdraw ECW, and two, I think you're pretty close to drawing or outdrawing SmackDown on a Friday.
Yeah, SmackDown's ratings have been suffering since they got stuck on my TV.
Yeah, and looks like it might be getting worse for SmackDown in certain markets in the United States, despite the fact that new deals have supposedly been signed. There's still a lot of worry. I wouldn't be surprised to see SmackDown moving to another channel soon. But I had a point.
Yeah, aren't they a part of the Fox networks or whatever that Rupert Murdoch is pulling from cable?
There's some. No, those got signed, so they're not, Fox isn't pulling out. But there are some Fox affiliates that air my network locally.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was the big concern.
One last chat about TNA and the ratings wars and stuff like that. The live program peaked at 1.9. They averaged a 1.5 over the 3 hours. The replay this past Thursday night was a 0.9. Now, is that good or bad in your opinion? Let's start with Will.
Hmm.
Remember, they average a 1 or a 1.1 normally.
Yeah, part of me thinks it's good to a point in that they were able to still get people to tune in to either see it for the first time or rewatch it.
Uh-huh.
But, I don't know, I'm kind of torn on that. I guess as long as they were still able to get near their average, considering they were on Monday and most of their fans probably already saw it on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lose for them. I mean, it was a rerun anyways.
Speculate here. How many of that 0.9 do you think might be new viewers who didn't watch Monday but heard positive feedback and out on Thursday?
There could be some in there because, you know, those people could have watched WWE instead, heard from their friends that TNA had a hell of a show, and then they tune in on Thursday for the replay.
Yeah. What about you, Omega? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, TNA's replays usually average 6 when they replay it, I believe, on Saturday nights. So there is a markup for that replay. So I think it is apparent that at least a few did trickle in to where, okay, you knew TNA had this huge show against Raw, but there are WWE loyalists, like the WCW loyalists I just named off that might have been offended that TNA had such a good show and they stuck with WWE and the Bret Hart and, oh, yeah, that was kind of lame after all. So there's probably a bunch that went over to see the replay. But at the same time, the whole point was to capture new viewers, and there's no striking while the iron was hot. So the sad thing is it's good and bad.
Yeah. No argument there. They should have come with original programming and not the replay, as it were. Spud?
I'm going to bet that maybe 0.1 or 0.15 of that was new viewers. And, you know, Omega brought up that they usually garner a 0.6 for their replays. Let's not forget, this isn't a replay on a Saturday night. They aired that replay for Monday in their usual time slot where they usually air new content. The worst thing that TNA could have done was to air a replay. That was absolutely the worst thing they could have done. They should have thrown... You could have thrown a pre-taped Impact out there, but they immediately, Tuesday afternoon, they should have grabbed a bunch of tourists off the streets and filled up the Impact Zone again and taped a follow-up to Monday night and thrown it out there Thursday night, because then you keep that momentum going. They let it grow cold and stagnant by replaying Monday night's show and making us wait 2.5 weeks, a week and a half for a new program, to see what is the fallout from Monday night. That is bad.
Yeah, well, they did tape on Tuesday for this coming Thursday. They should have done it for, last Thursday. That's my opinion, and I'm not the only one to have that one. But, as far as the new, the new taping that they did on Tuesday, the past Tuesday, it's going to be a really, what I'm really interested right now in finding out is the fan response, the crowd reaction. And I'm not talking about the Impact Zone heads that, always go nuts. Oh, look, Joe's tying over to do his shoe up. Ah, not those people that'll cheer at absolutely everything in the Impact Zone, but the guys that show up for the tapings, who actually honestly let their feelings and their thoughts and their views be known. One thing I did notice on the Thursday night replay, because, I did watch it, they cleaned it up. They cleaned it up a hell of a lot. They got rid of a whole bunch of stuff the crowd was yelling out. Most predominantly, this is bullshit for the that Cage of Doom.
I love how much of that went unbleeped until a few seconds in.
Yeah, I mean, it was going completely unbleeped, but, for the most part, anyway. But yeah, they basically deleted that out, and they also got rid of the booze between Hogan and Jarrett, as well as a few other things to tidy it up. Now, one thing that we all know that is no big secret, when the crowd is quiet or dead or isn't making as much noise as WWE wants, WWE will pipe in crowd noise. Not in the, not in post-production, but during the show itself. Would TNA benefit from doing something like that, or would that just be a dumb move on their part?
I don't necessarily hope they wouldn't do that.
Okay, let's try one at a time. Omega, you first.
It'd be a very dumb move, because the advantage to WWE is that you can't tell exactly how big that crowd is. I mean, it's no secret that they push people away from the hard camera side of the arena to fill out all the space you can see on TV. And it's very hard to tell just how many people are there. So pumping in a little bit of crowd noise isn't going to go noticed very much. To do the same thing in a small arena like the Impact Zone, it's very easy to tell that it would be fake.
Well, you had a point to make too, Will?
I was going to say the same thing Omega did. I'd hate to see it. I've said multiple times, the thing I love about the TNA crowd is when they're good, they're like an indie crowd at times, which have awesome crowds if it's the right type of show, and just having artificial.
You know, I've been to a lot of indie shows, especially here in Calgary when Stampede Wrestling was running, and you've got an absolutely perfect point. When the indie crowd is hot, they are the best crowds going. I've told you guys the stories of Stampede Wrestling that when I was involved in taping it. At one point, the wrestlers would pull one of the guys would pull an insane move in the ring, and then what's the chant? Holy shit! Holy shit! One wrestler came out one night after the holy shit chant. He reminds the crowd, this is a family show with kids in the audience, as far as the holy shit chant went. Immediately after that, the next time the crowd felt like chanting holy shit, they go and they chant holy bleep. And louder than they were chanting holy shit. I just thought that was awesome. That was just the greatest thing. Holy bleep! Holy bleep! Like, it got the point across. They didn't have to be all vulgar with their speech and stuff like that, but it was pretty cool.
And I think if they pumped in crowd noise, it just gives this... You'd be able to tell, for one, because of how small the impact zone is, and it would just it feel artificial.
Okay, so in their current venue, in the current state, TNA pumping in canned crowd noise is a bad idea, in everybody's opinion.
Yeah, and I think cleaning it up like they did for Thursday night is also a bad move. I want to send Dixie Carter and Eric Bischoff and the like to the Paul Heyman School of Wrestling for the simple fact of ECW beat WWE and WCW in a very legitimate fashion because Paul Heyman had a very smart sense of the business and knew that he didn't have the production value of a WWE at that time or WCW at that time. But what he did have was true and genuine emotion and true and genuine passion from the crowd. And when you have chants like holy shit or holy fuck or, this is bullshit, when you have those chants...
You fucked up.
Or you that's fucked up. Chance. Yeah, that's a great chant. When you have those chants, I honestly think, and I'm not saying that you should let them air uncensored, but you should keep them in either a replay or in the broadcast because of the simple fact that it is showing that that crowd is into it, and that's going to attract a lot more people in the long run.
Well,
it's going to. If you all right, let me ask you this: you're going to go to a Stampede show, okay? And on the card, you're going to have your generic indie match, your generic indie matches. And you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's card A. The next Stampede show you go to, has a couple of gimmick matches on it for feud payoffs. And all of a sudden, that crowd is hot, and they're going, and they love it, and they're chanting, and they're cheering and booing and getting into it. After you see show A, are you more apt to come back for show B? Or if you see show B, are you more apt to come back for the next show because you want to be a part of that?
Well, I'm definitely not the one to be asked that particular question. Will, do you feel like giving it a shot?
I've actually been to a few indie shows down here, and they're small and pathetic and absolutely terrible. Like, the crowd isn't even filled at all. You've got, like, maybe this one show had maybe 25 people in the entire building. It was just absolutely depressing. But I went there for a few weeks because the crowd, even though it was so small, they felt more involved. I mean, the matches were par for the course, but it was just like the crowd was just fun to be a part of.
That's the worst thing you can do as a promoter and a booker is alienate your crowd. Now, I'll give you a better example, Tim. TNA is going to throw out Scott Steiner versus Bobby Lashley and your generic shit matches that TNA throws out. Abyss and whomever. That's one card. On the other card, you've got Nigel McGuinness versus Kurt Angle in a 2 out of 3 falls. You've got AJ Daniels and Joe for the TNA World Heavyweight Title. You've got a Ultimate X match. You know, you've got all these great matches that you know are going to pay off. So why would you not want the public to see that and to see that, hey, you see how these guys are getting into it? You could be a part of that too. Come see us.
Well, my point 535 minutes ago was going to be you can guarantee the FCC had a hand in them cleaning up the replay.
Absolutely. Absolutely they did. But when you stop and figure it out and really think about it, the thing, even though they cleaned it up, it was censored, so it could still air.
Yeah.
It could still air. I'm pretty sure the FCC was bitching about the little bits that went out that weren't censored.
Yeah. Well, as far as all that censorship and stuff like that goes, you fucked up. That's a bad chant to begin with. It's disrespectful to the wrestlers who are busting their asses and they only get one take to get it right. And it's not like they show up and give you shit whenever you drop the Big Mac on the floor before you give it to the customer, right? You know, this is awesome. You know, chants like that, sure. You know, I've got no problems with that. That adds to it. But pointing out a mistake so glaringly and obviously is, as far as I'm concerned, that's bullshit.
I think the "you fucked up" chant has its place.
So, I don't know. It's something that they screwed up on purpose, and we all know that they do once in a blue moon plan for something to look like it failed. And if it looks like it failed spectacularly, then they did it successfully.
Well, like with the Sid Vicious thing, when he did that top rope axe kick or whatever the hell it was,
big boot,
and broke his leg, you know, that's a point in time when the "you fucked up" chant is not, you know, is something that should not be done. But if you have somebody like, we'll say, a Jeff Hardy or a Kofi or, you know, Ray, people who live on the high spot and in the series of high spots, and they blow one, then I think it's absolutely appropriate.
I think it's something, though, that the ECW crowd pulled off well, because they just I don't know how to explain it, but when you would watch it, it's like they knew when to chant it and when not to. And most of the time, it was like the heels that were on the receiving end, it seemed like. I mean, there were faces that got the "you fucked up" chant, but... And part of it is that the wrestlers would feed into it, you know, they'd get the chant and they would react to it. You don't really get that out of a WWE or well, you might have a TNA event with the wrestlers, but in WWE you get no reaction from the wrestler no matter what you're chanting.
No, still, the chant "you fucked up," that's definitely a bad one. And Spug, as an indie wrestler yourself, you should be kind of disappointed.
I love that chant. No, I'm not. I love that chant. What's the whole point of wrestling?
To put on a good show and entertain
and
the crowd.
Suspend belief. And if I am in the ring, and the people in the 15th row are chanting "you fucked up," then it was obviously evident to everybody else, and I failed at doing my job.
And that thrills you to have that pointed out?
Yes, because it tells me where I need to improve and do better.
This would be a good time to have Mace.
Yeah, it would be. Unfortunately, yeah, for those of you wondering where the hell the Thunder from Down Under is, Mace has no more bandwidth left, and it just proves that Australia is a fucked up country.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
What the hell? Does he get, like, welfare for his internet or something?
No. Down in Australia, you pay for a certain amount of bandwidth per month.
Same thing in England, too.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is over there. But, you know, like in North America here, you're paying for internet. You know, here's my $40 a month. Let me surf. Okay, sure. There you go. All right? Down in Australia, you want to go on the internet. Here's my $40 for 10 gigabytes a month. Well, if you're doing 10 gigabytes a month, you get to download 2 movies and that's it.
And then if you go over it, they start charging you for every bit you go over.
Not gigabytes. I would not survive in Australia. You know
what? None
why?
Of us would.
That's not the only thing, Spud. They're also doing Chinese censorship down in Australia too.
I would not survive in Australia for the simple fact that I go through 10 gigabytes of porn in a week.
Oh, fuck, I was not going to mention that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's, but what do you expect? But I'd steal
it's
the
porn.
And use a proxy server if I was living in Australia.
That's what I would bring do. The midgets back into the equation, Omega.
No.
No more midgets for the next month.
That was the greatest show. Listen to Otaku Talk Live from this last week. And enjoy.
There you go.
Speaking of which, we are one step closer to having an official Wild Talk Wrestling, Wild Talk Radio midget tossing team.
Man, you can't call them midgets. You have to call them dwarfs.
Well, dwarf tossing, but we will have a dwarf tossing team.
It's in the books nowadays. I don't know what's going on. But just before we transition to the next topic of discussion here tonight, Will, during the just as we were coming back from our commercial, you said in our private chat that lyrics of Batista's theme make no sense. And that just reminded me of something Batista said like a week and a half ago, that storytelling in wrestling is a dying art, and he wants to be able to pass on his ability to do any storytelling. And I'm like, what the fuck is Batista doing saying this? Oh, I tell a great story in the ring. Sure. What story you tell? Look, I can shake ropes.
The Ultimate Warrior did that, too.
but my point is, what the fuck is Batista talking about storytelling in a ring for? It's Batista. Come on.
Well, what's funny...
Is Batista saying that? Yeah, that's what's funny. Go ahead.
Well, what's funny, one is Batista saying that. Two, he's not far. He really has a valid point.
He's got a valid point, but doesn't have a leg to stand on. Have you seen any of his matches lately?
Dude, no, I don't watch Batista. You know why? Because it looks like a Jeff Hardy fan squeezed his head between his thighs and used his head as a dildo. Have you seen that man's head? I've never seen a tinier head on a wrestler.
I mean, Batista talking about storytelling in the ring. Are you fucking kidding me? Oh, my God. I had to point that out because it made me laugh fucking ass off.
I mean, his ears, man. I want him to stick his tongue out and put a purple hat on and with his ears, and he could just walk around and be dopey. We could give him a new gimmick. He could put on a green Snuggie and a purple hat, and he could be the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah, you're missing the point right then and there, okay? Yeah, sure, give him the purple hat.
Okay,
confident damn thing. Yeah, he's kind of dopey to begin with, especially talking about the storytelling as a lost art. Well, yeah, we know that, but what have you got to do with the storytelling?
He's the reason storytelling is a lost
art. He's the reason, Tim! If you've seen that man's head! Oh, my God!
Is it
okay? That's it.
Is it any wonder that the one we're calling Dopey is the most roided out one on the WWE roster right now?
So he's super dopey.
SmackDown roster.
He got angry. Him and the Hulk. I don't know.
We'll just call him Super Dopey.
Goddamn, okay. Batista, and he's got a head that belongs in a whack-a-mole machine.
There you go. It looks like it's already been through the whack-a-mole machine. Rock, make a note for next week's quick hits. We're going to ask questions about which wrestler would make a better member of the Seven Dwarfs. But, yeah, transitioning. Let's take a look at the WWE Championship picture. I got a few questions for you guys.
Oh, that's a great way to transition into it.
Yeah, well, he
talked about his head using it as a dildo for a fat chick.
Okay, with our apologies to
God.
That checks out, might be tuned in. Yeah, nice going, Spud.
Go put on your Jeff Hardy shirt.
My God, the opinions expressed by Spud do not necessarily reflect the rest of
the opinions expressed by Spud are awesome.
It's the reason Will tunes in Sunday night. There you go. What do you think your WWE title match to be at the Royal Rumble, Will?
Oh, who cares? Do you really want to see Sheamus wrestle? They need to find someone who can protect him and protect him good. Has he wrestled a match in the last month and a half?
Well, what about John Cena?
Yeah, okay, that's going to be the great guy to protect him. They've had, what, maybe two matches together, and they were both absolutely terrible?
There you go. So who do you think Sheamus should face? For the
who
title.
Who do you think it's going to be?
Well, I'm not asking who I think it's going to be. I'm asking who you'd like it to be.
Oh, who I'd like it to be isn't who it's going to be.
Okay.
Very insightful, Will. Thank you very much for that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, what the hell do you... There are tons more people I would love to see in the WWE title picture, but no, it's going to be someone like Cena. Maybe they'll... That's really it, Cena. Unless they give us a surprise bone all of a sudden, some sort of battle royal out of nowhere, it's going to be Cena cashing in his other rematch.
Wait. Did you just say surprise boner?
No, surprise bone.
All right. Whew. I thought you were going gay on me there for a minute. Well, I was afraid.
Spug, leave your porn collection alone till after the show. Omega, your turn.
Watch porn all day. Haven't watched porn at all today.
Here's the sad part, and I am even ashamed to have this thought, but it is the legitimate one going through my mind right now. For a Royal Rumble, I would book Sheamus and Cena, and I'd give the title back to Cena because even he is better than having fucking Sheamus as the world champion on any show that WWE has.
I can't believe it. Everybody here is bitching and complaining that Cena's holding the title. Now that he doesn't hold the title, give it back to him. Sheamus sucks ass. Wow.
That's exactly it. They put the belt on Sheamus so they realize how good we have it with Cena as the champion.
I still hate Cena too much. Here's the thing, Tim. The choice between John Cena as champion and Sheamus as champion is like being asked if you would rather have a sandpaper condom or a soft tissue condom. They both suck. They're both going to hurt. But you might as well take the one that hurts less.
Oh, my God.
It's shit in the front yard versus shit in the backyard. At least in the backyard, people can't see it anymore.
There you go.
Having, smell.
Having
That's
Sheamus,
the problem.
Is John or Sheamus is champion is like being fucked in the ass with a sandpaper condom with no lube. With John Cena as champ, at least we get lube. We still have a sandpaper condom, but at least we get some goddamn anal ease.
Oh my god. So you guys all think that the predictable thing is going to be Cena Sheamus one more time?
One more time,
more
hopefully for the last time. No.
But not for
it's
the
WWE.
Time.
You expect an original idea?
Once in a blue
it's
moon, which happened a couple of months ago.
I don't know what's worse. Sheamus main eventing the Raw main event for Royal Rumble or Cena going back to Mania again?
I don't know. You know what? At this point, I want to see Triple H enter the title picture so we can get a new belt.
You know what? I agree.
That,
Jesus Christ.
That's something that has been rumored, is if Triple H ever held the belt again, he was going to change the belt. So,
oh,
yeah.
Please. I hate that belt so much. Just ask Rob.
Right.
My
back, the wing eagle.
Oh, I missed the wing eagle.
I like the winged eagle, but I think you can modify it and make it more modern. But yes, bring back the winged eagle. Right. Well, Omega and I were talking about this because he was actually reading me the email because I hadn't got home. I hadn't gotten home from work yet to see the show rundown. And he was reading me the email from Rock about the show rundown. And this is probably the next question that you have listed, but I'm going to answer it anyway. I don't think John Cena should be in that title match at Raw or at Royal Rumble. I honestly think you should put somebody in there, to be, you know, maybe you put Triple H versus Sheamus, and you take the title off of Sheamus, but you put John Cena in the Rumble. To me, that's far more compelling than John Cena winning the title, and then you know he's going to be headlining Mania.
Yeah, but at this point in time, you don't throw him in the title match with Triple H. Keep the belt on Sheamus till WrestleMania. Start
oh, God,
over.
No.
WrestleMania?
God,
shut
no.
up. Shut up and listen.
No.
Just look.
This
and then
is
you
the
can
third
say no.
bad idea you had tonight.
Yeah, just let right? Like it or not, leave the belt around Stay Puft Marshmallow Man's waist. Start a program between him and Triple H. The payoff is WrestleMania, where Triple H becomes the champion again.
No.
Go
did
ahead.
They put something?
No.
Before it's Will famous. Goes on, I just want to ask, did they put something in your Canadian water at the nursing home tonight?
No, shut up. Go ahead, Will.
Sheamus does not drop the belt at Rumble. He is going to drop it at No Way Out. There is no way that Sheamus is going to make it through an elimination chamber when they could put the belt on any number of more qualified guys in a match with a giant cage with main eventers.
Omega?
At the same time, though, can you play up a title match for WrestleMania with enough build-up if you've changed the champion that quickly before the show? And I hated it last year. I don't think it turned out
very
well.
They also did it back at WrestleMania 17 when Angle lost the belt to The Rock at No Way Out just right before WrestleMania, and that match between Rock and Austin was absolutely awesome.
That was the one where Austin turned heel.
Right, but the match before that was awesome.
Right. Who won?
Just the two of them just beat the shit out of each other with their own finishers and drink beers. Ah, good times.
Who won the Royal Rumble last year?
Orton, I believe. Yeah.
Randy Orton.
Okay, did he go after the Raw title or the SmackDown title?
He went after what was technically the SmackDown title at the time, except it was being feuded with over on Raw because Stephanie got involved, and thus Triple H came gallivanting to Raw, while at the same time, Edge had won the Raw title despite being a SmackDown champion, so then they gallivanted that shit over to SmackDown.
Okay.
If that makes sense. It didn't.
Orton ultimately ended up on SmackDown for a while before coming to Raw. Because usually what they have done in the past...
No, it was all on Raw.
What they have done usually for the past few years is that the winner of the Rumble, like a couple of years ago, was the Raw champion. The year after that, it was the SmackDown. They went after the SmackDown championship. Usually, that's how it works. I'm interested to see, however, how they do that this year, because I think that this could be the year where you throw all of that out the window.
ECW guy wins the Rumble? That's a great idea.
I not even an ECW guy, but where, you know, Undertaker, it's supposed to be, the rumors that have been flying about is Taker and Cena. Taker and Cena at Mania for a title. Okay, that was a great match the first time we saw it a few years ago. I'd like to see it again. But if you want to have build up and you want to have suspense, then drop the title off of Sheamus at No Way Out. Let him keep it at the Rumble. Let him keep it at the Rumble. Let him go over John Cena or somebody. But have him drop it at No Way Out, because there are going to be five other guys in that steel cage capable of being champion. And that is the perfect... As much as you think it's a bad idea to do it, Tim, that is the perfect time to do it. Because then people are going to go, we have to tune into Mania to see who's the champion, who's fighting.
Well, there are a whole bunch of different ways everybody can go, I suppose, with that one. But, Sorry, go ahead.
I just hope they don't do something like they did with Cena when he won the Rumble, which made the Rumble completely fucking moot, and that he challenged for the title at No Way Out instead of getting his shot at WrestleMania.
That was so stupid.
Well, who would you rather see, Sheamus and Triple H or Sheamus and Cena?
At the Rumble or at Mania?
At Mania.
Sheamus, not at all.
The shit in the front yard and backyard comes to mind again.
Quite honestly, if I have to pick, if you're sitting there telling me one of these two matches is going to be booked and you have to pick it, I would honestly take Triple H and Sheamus over Triple H or over Sheamus and Cena. One, Sheamus and Cena's played out. We know how that goes. Two, Triple H, has the ability to carry young competitors.
Well,
carry them and make them look better. So, yes, I would rather have Triple H and Sheamus.
Okay. I will say this. You have one chance and only one chance of making this right and actually making Sheamus work. What have we said about Cena for years? What the fuck was that?
Honey!
Oh, somebody stepped on his dog, man.
No, I rolled over her ear with my chair. Honey.
Oh, my God.
That is why you don't put your head there and flop your floppy ears about. I'm so sorry.
Oh. Okay, we've had an injury here. Throw up the X. Let's stop the match before there's any bleeding.
Speaking about stopping the match, Will, you got any final comments here before we go to break?
Sheamus should not be at Mania. What the hell does that say to everyone in the locker room? This guy came in three, four months ago. His big feuds were Goldust and Shelton Benjamin. All of a sudden, he's the WWE champion. Okay, that's a bit over the top. If they push him to Mania, that's just absolutely ridiculous. And it's worse in that there are so many more guys who deserve that push than some guy who's been around for 4 months that we've not even had a real chance to see wrestle because every opponent he's been against has protected him.
Okay, well,
I will...
Go ahead.
Yeah, if I finish my point from before. The one thing we've said about Cena for years now is that he is Superman. Well, guess what? This new guy, Sheamus, he gets to be Doomsday. If he goes to the Royal Rumble and puts Cena down completely, then he has completely overshot everything that Cena has ever been built up as, is this super powerful, indomitable wrestler. Somehow, some way, Sheamus comes along and does what no one has been able to do and just completely shuts Cena down. That is the one way that you can market this and actually come off looking good. I mean, yeah, I'd still like to see him drop the title No Way Out. I'm right there with Will. I can't see a completely green... Oh, I can't even say green. But a completely fresh rookie that hasn't even booked a year in his WWE career headlining WrestleMania.
Remember, Omega, Doomsday did beat Superman, and Superman was resurrected. So let me throw this out there. Say Sheamus beats Cena at the Rumble, okay?
Uh-huh.
Cena's going to grow a mullet?
No, because the title matches usually take place before the Royal Rumble match. Royal Rumble match traditionally is the main event. I know it's been like the first or second match the past couple of years, but we'll say it's the main event for the year, or for the show this year. Sheamus beats Cena. Cena throws in his card to be an entrant in the Rumble, wins the Rumble, challenges Sheamus for the title at No Way Out, and they take it off of Sheamus at No Way Out.
Cena would have to come in the last three numbers for that to work. If you had him beaten by Sheamus, and then suddenly, after what should be a really grueling world title match, coming in and winning the Rumble, then Sheamus doesn't look as strong anymore. I mean, you got to have Cena put down, period, in order to make him look like a legitimate threat.
What if you have him hobble out at number 30?
Well, the thing they've done right with Sheamus this entire time is he's not really beat Cena. Cena fell off the turnbuckle through the table. He got DQ'd on the last Raw that they wrestled in. So he's not truly actually pinned Cena or made him tap, which is something that'll probably be resolved at the Royal Rumble.
I still feel horrible. I rolled my chair over my dog's ear.
I'm sure that dog will be absolutely fine. Okay, so we're just about ready to take our next time out. Then we're going to come back and kick off with the brand new great debate. Speaking about Royal Rumble, it's the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time is what we're looking for. Don't forget, your opinions matter. You're more than welcome to call in 888-357-9876, option number one, and get your 2 cents in on the great debate. And as we go to break, I just want to let everybody listening know that Wild Talk Radio was looking for posters. I don't mean pictures. I'm talking about people who want to do blogs about anything or who would like to post news about whatever. Let us know. Email admin@wildtalkradio.com if you would like to be a WTR blogger / news poster. Once again, admin@wildtalkradio.com. Everybody, we're taking our second time out of the evening. Coming back with a great debate. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Run out here and die like a fool. Trying to figure out what my moon's gonna be. Come on over, circle, I don't dress me. Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.
If you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free, and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcast. Join today.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otaku Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This one. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, so he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
All right, hang on a second. Dun. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LAB Rule, Chapter 7. Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Tuesdays, 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, everybody, WTR Sunday Night will be on late next Sunday night because of the TNA pay-per-view. We'll be going on about 5 minutes after that's over. Don't forget that. We just wanted to remind y'all that we'll be back to the pay-per-view time of approximately 11 o'clock Eastern. That's next Sunday night. It's true. It's damn true. Are you guys ready to get into this brand new great?
Hooray?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, hooray, why not?
No, hooray, seriously, we have a new one, hooray.
Oh,
hell
okay.
Yeah.
I just want to take this time out. I don't know if he's listening anymore. He was in the chat room a little earlier. But regular WTR caller, I'm kind of surprised we haven't heard from him yet because he normally calls in by this time. But Randy from El Paso, he's the one who actually came up with this great debate, greatest Royal Rumble champions of all time. And I just want to say thank you very much, Randy, if you're listening or if you catch the archives. What we're going to do is continue to let you listeners send us suggestions, and we'll pick one out of the hat. And who knows? You might be the one that we choose for the next great debate. But it's time to get started, Rock.
The bell has sounded for this week's great debate. From the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. To the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
It's Flair from behind! Oh, yes, 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 yes.
We are in search for the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time. Do you disagree with what we have to say? Then interact with us live on the WTR toll-free line. Now step into the ring with us as we determine who is the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time.
All right, there it is, the brand new intro for the brand new great debate tonight. We are
so apathetic.
I'm sure she'll be happy to hear you say that. Well,
not like she cares. It's wrestling.
Well, it's no secret. She doesn't give a shit.
Well, no, she's not a big fan of wrestling, and for some strange, you know, and here's the thing, okay? She's not a fan of wrestling, so she doesn't waste her time in the chat room trying to tell us that something we know is predetermined and, you know, not real like UFC is, you know, pretty real like UFC. I mean, how genius is it for somebody to stick around in a chat room and do shit like that, not even bother letting you know that they even have a real name or even a valid
name? Wait, we have somebody in our chat room doing that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Trying to say, well, you know, why be living in dreamland? Get a real life. Ain't you never heard of something called UFC?
People that piss me off because it's just like we all, everyone knows it's fake by now. It's just like these people have nothing better to do than like.
Yeah. Guess what? UFC is as fixed as WWE is.
There you go. Let me just say, okay, I'm going to quote Hulk Hogan here. They say wrestling ain't real, but it really hurts. And as an indie pro wrestler, Spud, you can back me up on that one. One misstep. And what happens?
Oh, you break things. And I honestly didn't go sled riding with my daughter and my wife today because it was real cold up here in Ohio, and my joints hurt, my body hurt.
Yeah.
So I took some ibuprofen and laid down all day.
There you go.
I had to go to work.
As somebody who's an avid sports fan like I am, and has played football, basketball, baseball, hockey, partook in professional, you know, in what they call pro wrestling, which is let's just you know, for the sake of argument, call it the fantasy world of wrestling. Okay, having been involved in all of that, I can tell you that professional wrestlers are the second, if you know, third or second most talented athletes on the planet overall. And the reason why I say second or third, it's either it's behind hockey, and you cannot argue if you have never put on the skates, put on the equipment, and played a game. You can't argue with me on that.
I would put professional football players one, pro hockey players two, and wrestlers three.
Okay, you see, I've played full contact football, full contact hockey. The hardest sport I've ever played, the most painful sport I've ever played, was hockey.
Sure, hockey is very painful. I've not played hockey, but I have played football. And I tell you what,
the thing that for me that separates football players away from hockey players is that on a football field you can have, I mean, you get some nasty hits in hockey. You get some nasty checks into the glass. You get some nasty open ice hits. The thing mm-hmm. that separates with football from hockey is that it's every play. Every 45 seconds to a minute, your body is getting hit with the force of a freight train.
Well, at the same time, you're expecting that hit, and you're delivering it back to you. Unless you're the receiver, then you're expecting to get clocked while you're up in the air, but you're not balanced on knife blades at the same time. You're not traveling at 40 miles an hour, which is what you're
not even fathoming rugby here.
So,
no, rugby's up there too. No, rugby's up there too, but I just, if you look at some of the injuries that come out of professional football and professional hockey, but mainly professional football, they're absolutely devastating. Absolutely devastating.
Well, like I said, you can't argue with me. No, there you go. Like I said, Spug, you can't argue with me until you've played a game of hockey. So
I think at the very least, we can all agree that shit hurts.
There you go. All of those sports. Okay, we can all agree that shit hurts. And basically, without getting into a debate on which sport is more violent, we can all agree unanimously that hockey, football, and pro wrestling are the top three where you have to be really, really fucking good. And it has to be bang on, otherwise some shit going to get fucked up real bad. I think we can all agree on that one, right?
Give me my sock. No.
Well, that's what you get for running over her ear. She's going to eat your fucking sock. Anyway, basic criteria. Oh, there you go. Well, okay.
No,
well,
it's my dog. She's pulling my sock off of my foot.
Okay. Well, I'm not even going to talk about that. Bring nothing up because it would just be going over the line. Now, crossing the line, as it were. Speaking about crossing the line, once again, TNA pay-per-view tomorrow or next weekend, next Sunday night, so we're going to be preempted until the end of the pay-per-view. That being said, the criteria for the Royal Rumble Great Debate. Omega will Spug.
Mm-hmm.
The criteria for the Great Debate. That's the sweet thing about this one. There's no hard and set criteria other than the obvious. You've got professional wrestlers with their own set of talents going against a ring full of their peers to see who's going to win the Rumble, pretty much, right?
I think the only criteria would be how they performed in the match itself and maybe what they did with their win.
How many total participants are in this little debate this time?
Well, we're grand total of 16. We're going to do it the same way we've done all the other great debates. It's going to be 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, yada, yada, yada. And they're not really assigned in any specific particular order. Tonight we've got Stone Cold Steve Austin against Rey Mysterio and Hulk Hogan taking on John Cena. And we're going to see who gets thrown over the top rope on both of these in the WTR squared circle. Are you guys ready to debate?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes. Alrighty then. Starting off, Austin versus Mysterio. Will.
Austin. Yeah, I know you need reasoning. I just wanted that to sink in. That just fuck Mysterio. I watched that Rumble, and it was just there is nothing exciting about watching a cruiserweight in any sort of battle royal because they're just grounded. It defeats the point of being a cruiserweight in a battle royal. All your high-risk moves are going to send your ass right to the outside if you screw it up, which I guess, you know, is entertaining if it means you're not going to be gone the moment you're done. Not only that, Austin won 3 Royal Rumbles. How do you beat that? You really don't. And they were just every time Austin was in the Rumble, I've seen, I think, two of his three Rumbles. Just, they were just fun to watch because...
Which Royal Rumbles did he win, just out of curiosity?
He won 97, 98, and 2001.
Someone has Wikipedia open.
Well, yeah, shut up. What, am I the only one that does that when we go through these debates, just so I got that shit right in front of me?
Oh, yeah. No, I'll admit to it, too.
Okay,
I
well,
don't.
Don't call me out on it, you asshole.
Yeah, shame on you. So there. Yeah. Okay, so it's
question. I had the answer. Anyways, Austin and his Rumble appearance is way more entertaining than Rey Mysterio. Won way more than Mysterio. Austin.
There you go. Omega.
I will give Rey Mysterio credit for this, being a tiny little cruiserweight and this little action figure of a man. He did bring some kind of suspense as to how is he going to eliminate anybody and how is this little elf going to manage to stay alive in this match.
We're going to toss his ass like a fucking dwarf.
Would you consider him a midget?
Can we get a harness for him?
Well, let me ask. Would you consider Danny DeVito a midget? Yes. Although he's too fat to toss. Okay, fine. But they're both the same height. So there you go. There's your answer.
Midget wrecking. You're a wrecking ball of a midget.
You know what? Let's not get on midgets because I won't stop. Just keep going with the debate, please. Please.
Coming to a WWE movie house near you. The Rey Mysterio story, starring Tony Danza as Rey Mysterio Jr.
Please, everything he does.
Omega, go.
Okay, I will say this. If you can suspend your belief for just a little bit of time during the Royal Rumble, Rey Mysterio had an interesting win, but a win does not compare to three wins, the record for the Rumble. And Will is right. Austin was fun in his Rumbles. Well, he had a few that I will say he had less than spectacular Rumbles. The ones where he really got going, he went really well, and they were really fun matches to watch. So, gotta go with Austin.
There you go. So, Austin, Spug.
I will as well pick Austin. But I don't even, and like I said, we all know how much my opinion matters on this show. I don't even think that Rey Mysterio should be even in this debate because nobody is arguing the fact that Rey Mysterio's Royal Rumble appearance and win that year were because of him mooching off of Eddie Guerrero's death and the push that he got because of it. Mysterio was entertaining in singles competition and in his element. Austin, however, was entertaining throughout, no matter what match he was in, and no matter what he was doing. So, my vote goes to Austin, regardless of the number of times he won the Rumble. He could have won it once, and he would have been a better Royal Rumble winner than Rey Mysterio.
There you go. So it's Austin, and my vote ain't going to count for shit, but I am going to make it a clean sweep.
Can I ask something real quick?
Okay.
Before you go, there are like 19 different Rumble winners. Who the hell got excluded from Mysterio to be on the fucking list?
Big John Studd. Big John Studd better be on this list. Because he was the first Royal Rumble winner, wasn't he?
We'll get into that.
Duggan was the first one.
Studd was the second.
Duggan. Yeah,
Studd was the second.
Yes. So, anyway, Spuggy basically stole my thunder. I was going to point out the only reason why Ray won the Rumble was to set him up to win the world title, which got the word heavyweight dropped from it during his reign for good fucking reason. I loved Eddie Guerrero. Everybody loved Eddie Guerrero. Very few as entertaining as Latino Heat. They, because...
they were best friends in life. Everybody's figuring, well, he'll carry on Eddie's legacy, yada, yada, yada. I didn't see it that way. Personally, I think they should have done something with Chavo, despite Chavo's lesser amount of talent. Austin winning it three times. Check it out right there. So our first winner will be Stone Cold Steve Austin defeating Rey Mysterio over the top rope and halfway up the seats just because he's so small and light. That being said, we got a caller calling in. Caller, who's this? Where are you calling from?
Steven Ford.
It's who?
Hello?
Huh?
Hello?
Steven. Speak up, buddy.
Steven,
hey, where are you calling from, Holmes?
What are y'all doing?
We're talking. You called into us. Steven, can I ask you a question?
What?
Does this sound like us hanging up on you?
Okay. Awesome.
Wow. You know what? If he was drunk, he's going to get angry that we hung up on him. He's going to call back.
Yeah.
This could add for some really entertaining radio tonight. Yes! Let's do an impromptu poll in the chat room. If you want Steven to call back and take off on Spug for hanging up on him, say yes. Don't say no.
Spug didn't hang up on him. Rock controls the line.
Well, it was at the same time, it was still Spug's idea to do that, so...
And I quote, get ready to drop this guy.
Hold up.
No, you don't get to skirt responsibility, Mr. Timmy Stein, owner of the network. It was your idea first and foremost. I only carried it out. So you are not shooting the messenger. Fuck you.
Bug was just the dog. You let the chain off him.
You jumped the fucking gun, and we'll talk about that later. Anyway, there it is. The first winner in the first round here, Stone Cold Steve Austin. The next set we got going is Hulk Hogan taking on John Cena. We're going to start at the other end this time. Spug, go ahead.
John Cena versus Hogan.
Yeah.
Now, being as there's no... legitimate criteria for this, and we just kind of, you know, are making this the criteria up as we go. Hogan won the Rumble, what, once or twice?
Twice.
Yet he was consistently as the champion or the challenger at Mania for the championship. Cena's won it twice as well, I believe.
Once.
All right, he won it once, and then he challenged for the SmackDown title, I think. Anyway, Hogan and Cena are on very similar parallels in their career as far as their marketing push, all of that. But my vote goes to Hogan because there will never, ever, ever, ever be another Hulk Hogan.
There you go. Very acceptable and legitimate. Omega, your turn.
All right. As Bug pointed out, we're kind of making up our own criteria for judging on this one. So I'm going to judge it based on who has been in Royal Rumble video games. That's just the criteria that I would go by.
Okay.
That's a great criteria.
I knew it the moment he mentioned it. If it works for him, let him go with it, you guys. Let him talk.
We'll say this. There's nothing spectacular in the least about John Cena's Royal Rumble win. Obviously, it was to further the storyline with Orton. It had nothing to do with being talented or needing it or being impressive. It's Cena. He was booked that way a long time before he ever won the Royal Rumble. So it accomplished dick. On the other hand, I do, the Royal Rumble, beforehand, I was not really taken as seriously as it was until Hogan won it, because he had Jim Duggan and Big John Studd winning the Rumble the years before Hogan won it twice in a row, and they did a whole lot with that. So
that was long that was long before the Royal Rumble winner got an automatic title shot at Mania. Same.
Oh, I'm aware. But that, keep in mind, that means that those Rumbles did not have nearly as much at stake as the ones that Hogan did compete in. There's not nearly as much on the line. So, just by default, Hogan did have a little bit more meaning and impact to it. And he is the first one to do it twice in a row. So, yeah, no contest on here. It's got to be Hogan.
There you go, Will.
Do you even have to ask? Do you even have to ask?
Even if it's just a formality, the answer is yes.
Hogan. And you know what? I'm going to back it up. Not only did Hogan win the Rumble twice, in both of his appearances, while they were short, he lasted way longer than Cena. Cena came in at 30 and lasted 8.5 minutes to win the Rumble. Hogan came in the first year at 25 and lasted nearly 13 minutes. Ooh. And Hogan, in his second appearance, came in at 24 and lasted a whole 20 minutes. So you can go to hell, Hogan.
Here you go. Yeah. It's another clean sweep here, everybody. I'm going for Hulk Hogan, too, simply because it's the immortal one, Hulk Hogan. With Cena, we keep talking about how they like to use the title belts as props anymore as opposed to the be-all, end-all. It's now just part of the storyline and not the storyline itself. The Royal Rumble for Cena was just a continuance of his feud against Orton. They had to get him in there somehow. It was the right time of the year, the good thing to do. So, bada bing, bada boom, bada Bob's your uncle. There it is. That is the first round of the great debate. Steve Austin moves on. Hulk Hogan moves on. And next week's great debate will be posted later this week on the WTR section of the site. Make sure that you keep coming back and checking on that one. Once again, your winners, Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's it. The great debate. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick little time out before we come back. We'll take a quick look at TNA Genesis on the other side of this break. And then we're going to do some WTR quick hits. And I'm going to invite Nick to fill in for Mace for the quick hit segment. So, Will, stand by.
Nick, you can pick the TNA questions.
Yeah, it's your turn. Welcome. Nick actually likes answering them. So, anyway, Nick, just pay attention and call in when it's ready for you to call in. Everybody, listen to WTR Sunday night. Don't forget, we're looking for people to post up on our news boards. Email admin@wildtalkradio.com. We'll be back right after this. Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. Book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassles, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your travel agent. Call Tripology toll free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now.
Hey, it's Nick Anthony from OWW Radio, and I want you to join me Tuesdays for the most opinionated wrestling talk on the Internet. We mix in current events and news from all over the world. It's nonstop opinionated wrestling news talk. It is OWW Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Write it down. OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. That's the site known around the world, man, via the largest wrestling database worldwide, even in Canada. Come on, I'm just joking. But listen. Listen to OWW Radio with features like This Week in Wrestling History, where we make mention of all things that happened this week in wrestling history. Can you imagine it? Plus, the Match of the Week and OWW Jeopardy. That's where we test your wrestling knowledge. It's just like Jeopardy without Alex Trebek. We got interviews. Just recently, we interviewed Bret the Hitman Hart. Excuse me. I said Bret the Hitman Hart. OWW Radio at online, World of Wrestling. Also, clickwrestle.com and YouTube. We're there, too. OWW Radio. And subscribe, slap nuts to us at the iTunes Store. OWW Radio is on Twitter, and we have Facebook also. OWW Radio, man, where fans and legends come together.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
Who's to know if a soul will fade at all? The one you sold to fool the world. You lost your self-esteem along the way.
I'm just getting into the music there. It's just awesome. Hey, everybody, welcome back to WTR Sunday Night. Well, you know, we're running a little bit late, so we're going to skip TNA Genesis Preview. Couple of reasons why. Not a whole lot to talk about announced just yet, except for Hulk Hogan's return to pay-per-view. Yippee, guys.
Kind of thing around my head with TNA's Monday Night. Okay, hey, Hogan's here. Okay, what else are you doing? Hogan's here.
Yeah, and what else are you doing? Well, you know,
and we have Hogan.
Yeah.
And, Hogan. By the way, Hogan will be live. There you go. Okay, so there's TNA Genesis pay-per-view. Now, Nick, I didn't mean to confuse you earlier before the break, and I was serious about coming on to the show and taking May's spot because at least you have a little bit of bandwidth left. So are you ready?
Welcome to the A-Show, kid.
I don't think this is never ready. I've been here before.
Back when we were the B-Show. nobody's ever said anything about you not being here before. That's beside the goddamn point, so shut up. Are you ready?
Can you ever be ready?
Yeah, fuck it. Let's stop.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Huh? You know, we are a part of that. We are a part of that that website. What is it? VO Liners. We could always go there and get some voiceovers. Or does she do all the voiceovers for him too? Just gotta.
Well, she's a member of VO Liners. Just yeah, and she does voiceover.
Very very valiant attempt at doing some cheap shilling there, Spug.
Oh no, it wasn't cheap shilling. I was being dead serious. I'm sick of hearing it too.
Well, everybody out to www.vosite stuff. Along with a little podcast thing like that, you get people to do stuff like that for you. It's a great site. So that's all there is to it. Bada boom, bada. There it is. We're going to do a kit. So you guys ready?
Go and then play the intro so that would assume that we are ready, sir.
Okay, at this point in time, when I do it for a second time, it's rhetorical. Shut the fuck up and let me keep going. Otherwise, you're screwing up the flow. Out of CM Punk, Yoshitatsu, Vance Jackson, or whatever, and Kane... Who do you want to see Christian face for the ECW title at the Royal Rumble?
Punk, easily. And between Punk and Christian, now, so I'm gonna hope he wins or what happens at the Rumble. But I'd like to see WWE do something with Punk and actually have him achieve his goal of winning. That would be interesting. So this is obviously the ECW title.
There you go. And it's like starting all over again from scratch, wouldn't it be?
The decree, I want to see it happen.
Yeah, build a wrestling Frankenstein's monster.
Okay, so Franken-wrestler.
Yeah.
This is tough. Let's see, I'd probably give him the physique of The Rock. I would give him, just because I'm a mark this way, RVD's head. And DDP's teeth.
Why his teeth? Oh, my God.
I totally thought you were going to say RVD's everything and Trish Stratus's rack.
Now, that was...
I would not put too much awesome into one package.
He
that
said
way.
The perfect.
But... Yeah, but it wouldn't be... There's such thing as too perfect, okay, here?
No, there isn't.
And can you just see Omega and try to fuck RVD with Trish's tits? It's just disturbing.
Alrighty then.
By the way, it has to be DDP's teeth, because it's the only thing that's ever been on WWE television whiter than Sheamus.
Okay, so have you finished building the Franken wrestler?
Yeah.
Well, or did he get that from Hogan?
Okay. I'm not putting any of Hogan into a Franken wrestler. Last thing I need is Naugahyde skin.
You could give him Hogan's stash, because that really was the perfect stash ever. I've never seen a stash better than Hogan's.
Well, he had a pretty classic mullet that was so classic it didn't look like a mullet.
So classic, the top of it fell off.
There you go. Okay, so we're going to consider you finished with your Franken wrestler Omega and move on. Spug, out of the current crop of new WWE superstars, who do you see as a future WrestleMania main eventer?
Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've seen him in ROH. I know what he can do. I know what he's capable of. In the ring with the mic.
He's not in WWE.
He's in WWE developmental, and he was in WWE. We did not specify, sir, that they had to be on television at this moment in time.
judge's ruling.
Hold on.
Yeah,
Rock's
okay.
Got to fiddle around for the buzzer he didn't have on hand.
No, judge's ruling is it's fine. Okay, so Brian Danielson, there you go. Nick, are you ready for yours?
Yep.
What was your favorite NWO moment?
Probably going back to late 97 when there was a fake Sting. Three fake Stings came down to the ring and there was Bagwell and all those guys coming in. There were Stings dropping from the ceiling and everything. All fake Stings on being knocked down with punches as an NWO stunt. And then the real Sting came out, took a punch from Bagwell, and Bagwell turned around, started laughing, and Sting just whacked him out with the bat and took out the entire roster of the NWO.
Okay.
So that was the moment I became a wrestling fan.
Okay, so your favorite NWO moment is the moment that made you a wrestling fan. There we go. Back around the horn to Will. Second question. If John Cena were to star in his own porn film, what would the title be?
Hold on, I'm trying to actually...
Don't picture it, man.
It would either be... It would either be something stupid like You Can't See On Me or Five Knuckle Shuffle.
Five Knuckle Shuffle. That would work, I think. John Cena in Five Knuckle Shuffle. If Will had his way, it'd be a gay porn.
Oh, God. Just, that's right. Pick on Will.
For no reason at all whatsoever. No, I'm being serious. Will hate Cena that much. He'd make him take it in the butt.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay, never mind. Omega, if you took a wrestler from WCW and made him a Transformer, who would the wrestler be, and who would he be as a Transformer?
Oh, good God.
You see, don't you like how we weaved in both of your geekdomness things together?
This is embarrassingly geeky. Oh, my God, I actually have to think about this.
Hey. Okay, that's bad when you gotta think about it.
I'm trying to think of anyone that would actually make a Transformer in that damn model.
Funny, Spuggy.
You know what? Okay. You know what? I would probably take at his. Oh, let's see. I'm not even sure I can go over that one. I see your suggestions. No. God damn it. I would probably take, let's go with Kevin Nash in his heyday.
Okay.
And, there's a little group of Transformers that constantly fall apart and break down and still cobble themselves together no matter how many times they bust apart. They're totally useless.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're funny to listen to. That's mm-hmm. Kevin Nash as a Transformer.
Interesting. I'm thinking Hornswoggle is one of the Transformer twins from the second movie.
God.
He'd be a mini.
Hornswoggle's not that stupid.
Oh, okay. People have stopped messaging me.
There went some momentum. Holy shit.
My apologies. I just have to do that really quickly. And then there we go. So, Spug, you're up next. Do you think you'd be able to take a right hook from Mike Tyson? Depends. We talked to Mike Tyson today, or Mike Tyson in the early 90s when he was knocking out everybody.
Well, it would be Mike Tyson today, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I could do anything once. Doesn't mean I'm going to get back up, but sure. I'll give it a go.
Yeah. He's got a point. You can stop a bullet with your teeth once.
Well, you can do it once. Once only, yeah.
Why not?
There you go.
You know what? If we want to get technical, Mike Tyson doesn't have the arm strength or arm speed that he did when he was the heavyweight champion back in the 80s and 90s. I,